Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory communication number 85. The words. The words. What do the words mean? They only mean what the mind and the emotional allow them to say. Words are under the vibratory influence of these two planes in the humans. If man was conscious, he would be conscious of words, and then he would realize that words only have the function of feeding the speaker and the listener. They have no other function. Any other function is only a psychological distortion of the real value of words, and it is this distortion that is at the base of the Tower of Babel that still rises today in the world of man. The words are serious for the unconscious man, because he believes he creates them himself, so he believes they reflect his being, when in fact they only reflect his mechanical memory and absent real creativity. Man is so impressionable that words have a value for him, while the only value of words is a question of astrality or emotional connection between form and man. Man is mad about words and made mad by words, because he believes that words contain keys, when in fact the keys are hidden, buried in the vibration of words. Words cancel out intelligence when they are emotionally exploited by the ego, because they fracture in their forms and only show what the ego wants to see through the play of his emotions. The words have been given to man to allow him to think, but they were not given to him to stifle his intelligence and corrupt the intelligence of other men by their unrealized vibratory power. Words come from the spirit and must return to the spirit. In other words, they come from the spirit and must make the spirit vibrate in man. But this is not the case with the latter. They come from memory and make memory vibrate. So they do not serve man or the spirit of man, but the lower astral forces in him. Words create images in the mind of man, and these images become aspects that man seeks or wants to keep in him, because these aspects have been created by words to which man is attached. The unconscious man cannot live without ties. He is comfortable in attachment, and yet it is attachment that cut him from his higher self, the spirit of real intelligence. Words have intelligence only when they no longer serve the unconscious ego, but serve the life of man. Great difference between service to the ego and service to the life of man. The unconscious ego is a reflection of words, thoughts that are internalized words. And the life of man is the activity of the spirit of man in the matter. As long as words have not been liberated from the ego, they serve only the inferior forms or forces in man, and man then cannot feel his spirit through words. He only feels himself. Only an activated memory and without real life. Words seem to give a dimension of reality to man. Because he needs them to measure his psychological state. However, his psychological state is only a very inferior reflection of the spirit that is hidden in the vibration of words and not in the form. Words are useful because they allow the conscious man to realize that they serve to transmute the emotional material of man in order to refine it. What we call experience. For in experience, man must use words or thoughts to become aware of the experience and see where it leads him. But as long as man has not lost emotion in his spoken or heard words, he cannot realize that the spirit is behind everything that is life in man. Words allow man to understand his experience by comparison, when he should understand his vibratory experience, without form, so that he does not have to think about it and thus does not have to suffer psychologically. In man's past, words have been associated with intelligence, with the human intellect. Tomorrow they will be associated with the spirit in man. And when the spirit is in power in man, they will become energy and power. Words cannot give the unconscious man what he is looking for because they are channeled into him according to the degree of relationship that exists between his mind and his spirit. However, the mind of the unconscious man is so far from the spirit that the latter can only be realized by intuition. And intuition is the only door through which the spirit can manifest itself to man until he has understood the nature of words. Only then can the mind communicate with him. When words have been killed in man, when form no longer matters, man begins to communicate more and more with the spirit, until the words he speaks are the product of the creative activity of the spirit through form. Words have the power to divert man from his creative intelligence, or to channel that creative intelligence if he possesses a higher state of consciousness. Human consciousness is supported by words, but it is also restricted by words that do not take root in the spirit, but rather only in memory. Words tempt the ego because they give him the impression of being intelligent. While his intelligence is only mechanical, that is, without any real basis. For the intelligence of the ego to have a real foundation, he must be without reflection. As long as man has not grasped the meaning of his words, the inner meaning of his words, the meaning that allows him to feel the vibration of his intelligence, he is not in the intelligence of words. He lives only from the reflection of the ego through words. And this reflection, although it may denote a form of intelligence, is not real intelligence. Because real intelligence can only be absolute in its vibration. As real intelligence is absolute in its vibration, its energy makes the ego vibrate and must be absorbed by him mentally and emotionally. If the subtle planes have been adjusted, man perceives intelligence in a categorical and absolute way. Otherwise, he perceives it in a relative and ambiguous way. Words translate into life the portrait of life, as painted by creative intelligence, when man is conscious. But this vision of life, as painted by intelligence, can only be perceived, absorbed by the ego if he has enough intuition to receive it. Otherwise, the ego will oppose intelligence in words, and as soon as he opposes it, he separates himself from the vibratory energy of the form, which can open him to the absolute and unconditional reality of pure intelligence. One of the great difficulties with regard to words that the new man will experience will be linked to an old habit of always searching through words for some truth. The search for a truth is a search for the ego to secure oneself. This research is not part of pure intelligence in man. And since intelligence, in order to channel itself freely, needs a free passage in man, the latter will at times be forced to undergo the shock that intelligence creates when it makes fun of the truth that the ego seeks, in order to gradually lead it to free himself from the polarity of the true or the false that emotionally blocks it from a totally mental reception of intelligence. Words intervene in the life of man in successive waves. These waves that we call conversation, communication, serve, when man becomes aware, to make him aware of the power of energy in words and the illusion of the form of these words. Moving from form to energy is a great challenge for man. And if the man of the earth could instantly pass from form to the energy of words, the consciousness of the earth would instantly be supramental and cosmic. Words transfer a minimal amount of energy to the unconscious being because he does not have the sensitivity required to absorb the higher intelligence vibrations carried by a more powerful form. Thus, the unconscious man constantly feeds on dead words, words that mean nothing. And as soon as he becomes aware of this phenomenon, he can no longer speak with beings who do not have the sensitivity of the vibration in the form. The words come from a substance still unknown to man that is called the energy of electric fire. The energy of electric fire is an energy that transforms subtle bodies when they are pierced by it, because this energy cannot be stopped by the ego. The unconscious word does not have the power of electric fire because it is not conscious. That is, It cannot convey this energy. Because the subjective mentality prevents it. For the electric fire in the word to be used by man, he must be aware of the origin of the words. And for the moment, the origin of words is, for man, in the spirit. But one day man will discover other aspects of the spirit and realize that the spirit is an electric fire of a certain category. That this electric fire has the power to consume the dense matter of man, including the lower mind, the astral, the vital and the material. Words being an electric fire can consume, that is to say transform the subtle substances of man, because they have the power to stop the formation in man of illusions or unconsciousness. And it is this power of words that leads to the power of speech on the different planes of reality. Words eat. Feed on the lower energy of the unconscious mental plane and the unconscious astral plane. They have the power, if they are really intelligent, to eat everything, to consume everything the energy of low vibration on these planes, in order to leave a free passage to the energy of high vibration that we call the spirit. This leads man to fusion. Fusion is a phenomenon of displacement, a phenomenon that removes what is inferior in energy in man to leave only one open path unobstructed, so that the higher energy of the spirit can blend into the lower and planetary plane of man. The spirit is infinite, so the words are infinite. But for man to benefit from the words, he must be able to absorb them vibratorily at the level of their electric fire. Because it is in this experience that the spirit replaces the veil or the old furnishings of the ego, to make him see a totally new furnishings and without memory. Words can only instruct man if he loses interest in their meaning in order to become aware only of their impact, of the impact they create on the subtle planes. It is always the phenomenon of the shock that creates the consumption by electric fire, of which words are made. Words have the power to change the consciousness of man as long as he has the ability to absorb his energy. All men have different levels of sensitivity. This is why they do not all have the same capacity to absorb the energy of the electric fire conveyed in words, by the one who knows how to pass this energy. Conscious words make man tremble because he is constructed of forms, and his personality reflects the totality of the lower energy of these forms. As soon as this energy is elevated in vibration by the shock of words, it seeks to channel itself through the easiest, most rudimentary ways, of which the doubt is the greatest. Doubt seeks to rebalance what has been disturbed in the energy of man. D. doubt is about maintaining the status quo. Doubt is the planetary man against the cosmic man. Doubt marks the very impotence of the planetary man. While conscious words cross man as fire crosses matter, there is created in him the end of life and the beginning of another. For it is the words spoken by those who know how to speak that create the conditions for a new life. Because only the energy of electric fire can change the lower energy of man to make him know a new life. But the new life is not easy in its beginnings, because man has a memory. And this memory refuses to accept the new life, because it is part of the old one. The electric fire of words, once it has begun to consume the materials of low vibration, can no longer be reversed. For already the old life has been disturbed, that is, changed, and any real change is irreversible. Words are born of necessity, not of the need for expression. The need for expression is part of the mystery of the spirit that man does not yet understand, while the need for expression is part of the illusion of the ego that seeks to escape the reality of the spirit by creating a picture for itself. The need for expression is the key that opens the door to the unity of man, to the unity of the planetary and the cosmic. While the need for expression only gives the ego the impression that it exists as such, in fact, its existence is already lived on other planes by the spirit, through the programmed illusions of the astral rendered or manifested in the time and space of man. If the ego was aware of this, he would not and could not live, because the weight would be too great on his shoulders. So the ego of the new man will be transformed so that man can easily escape the gravitational power of the earth, because it is the ego that keeps man prisoner of gravity. This does not mean that man will no longer be able to identify with himself, but rather that man will identify with the cosmic part of himself, with the immaterial and intelligent part that he still calls his spirit today. Words have the power, when spoken by those who know how to speak, to eliminate the deep impression in man of a programmed ego, that is, of an ego that cannot know freedom or the exploitation of the occult domains of nature. But for words to pass through the thick layer of self-centered unconsciousness, they must be suffered, that is, absorbed without hindsight, without rationalization. For the rationalization of words allows the ego to claim some fragments of truths that do not constitute, in fact, any real protection against the vibratory power of consciousness. A consciousness that knows how to recognize the spirit through the words spoken consciously by those who know how to speak. The origin of words is hidden in the origin of time. And the origin of time is part of the great movement of the atom in the universe. Now the atom produces a sound, and when this sound has reached a high rate of vibration, because of the endless movement of the atom, the word is born. Because the word is created by moving energy. And it is this incessant movement that creates the infinity of intelligence that can be conveyed by words. But the word, at a certain stage of evolution, is no longer form. It is only energy. And that's where it's powerful. Because it's manifested atomic consciousness. This is what we call the spirit. So, the spirit is the atomic consciousness manifested through the word. For man to understand his position in the universe and his reality, he must be able to constantly push the boundaries of the absolute. And only his creative consciousness can do this work. For if he cannot push back these frontiers, he is obliged to see the absolute as a frontier and gives it the name of God. So he loses the power of his creative intelligence, or he loses the power of the word, to replace it with the placebo of spiritual philosophy, of psychological philosophy, which is not a science but a psychological study of what is closer to form than atomic consciousness, or energy, or spirit. Words have no power until the ego has learned to create them. To live them without attaching himself to them. As soon as he become attached to them, they lose their power because they no longer serve the spirit in man, but the ego in the personality. And if words are used by the ego, they cannot lead man to intelligence. Because, already, it has already died in him and replaced by the intellect which is dead or mechanical intelligence. The intellect serves the body, the matter, but not life. It is good to have, to use the intellect, but it is not good to live from the intellect. This is quite a difference. This allows us to see the relationship between what is natural and material, and what is immaterial and vital or consciousness. That man possesses a beautiful intellect is an achievement. That he adds real intelligence to it is a richness. Words have the gift, today as in the past, of developing the intellect and killing the intelligence, when they should serve man in one case or another and especially in the other. For intelligence is much more powerful, real, and vital than intellect. Until the words have been recognized by the spirit of man. Man has not recognized the spirit in him. For the two are one. But words separate man from his spirit. And that is why they are evil. Otherwise they would be good. That is, creative. And man would be full of spirit. When man is filled with conscious words, he feeds at the source of energy and all his lower principles benefit from it. Because nature wants everything more powerful than it dominates it. These are energy laws. Unconscious words contaminate the mind, for the form they create constantly accumulates and envelops the ego with a layer of energy that can only be dislodged by the bombardment of conscious words, which, because of their vibratory rate, gradually reduce the emotional resistance created by words imperfectly assimilated by the ego. Words take their energy, their origin, from a dimension of energy that cannot be measured by man. As man cannot measure this energy, he must understand it perfectly. He is therefore obliged to live it perfectly if he wants to be in harmony with it. This is what we call the higher consciousness. For man to fully understand the energy laws of words, he must have access to this dimension of energy through the etheric double. This is what the new man will experience. Words, as long as they are not expressed through the normal path of the spirit, will be expressed through the lower path of the collective mind of man. And man will not be able to understand the nature of the mysteries. For to understand the mysteries, man must be free from the collective mind to which he belongs, because of his subjective memory. Obviously, the collective mind is very different from the individual mind. And that is why the science of words is not yet part of human consciousness. Indeed, the human being is still in search of his identity, and he will only discover it when he has confronted the memory of the collective mind with the memory of the energy of the form that transforms the collective memory by exhausting the psychological link between the ego and the form of the word. As soon as this exhaustion is created, the ego, the man, can no longer deny his new reality, because already, he becomes aware of his identity. And all real identity is revealed or manifested by the unconditional use of the word for the benefit of real man, and not for the benefit of the astral forces of humanity. Words have no beginning or end, because they derive from creative energy. Therefore, they do not constitute any psychological frontier for man. It is only in the subjective use of their form by a collective mind that they lose their creative energy content and simply become forms that trap the ego. Words cross time and space, because they have no dimension. They have no end, no beginning, and that is what makes them particularly useful for communication. Because to communicate, we must transfer energy from one point to another in time and space. And words are used for this function of the spirit. But the quality of communication is always subject to the quality of our reception and transmission. It is here that intuition, telepathy, becomes new ways of expression for man that will facilitate his task of expressing his consciousness in time and space. Words will continue to evolve in their creative functions. On the contrary, man begins to communicate, to speak. But this beginning is new. Because the material communicated will no longer be the same as the one he knew. So knowledge will change the consciousness of tomorrow, and this consciousness will make knowledge grow. Because the two go hand in hand when man, the ego, knows the mystery of words. It is as important for man to know the mystery of words, of speech, as it is important to be conscious, because one goes with the other. For a conscious man, the mystery of words becomes more and more obvious. Therefore the consciousness more and more creative. Therefore the science of all planes more and more obvious too. And it is this evidence that will allow man to burst the atom of the mental center to connect it to infinite intelligence, or atomic consciousness. It is in atomic consciousness that man will understand the mysteries of creation that will allow him to creatively decide on alternatives to involution. It is the understanding of the mysteries of time that will allow him to discover the science of sound and light and to apply this science to a new mode of energetic communication that will make the mind of man exclusively emitting. When the human mind has become an emitter, it will be impossible for man to think subjectively, and he will then be able to correct the errors of involution created by subjective thought, where words, instead of being used by the spirit, were used by forces that are not of man but of death. The words coincide with the deep energy of life when they are conscious. As this consciousness develops in man, he becomes what he must be, creator, that is, free to see with his spirit. The circle is then closed, and no force inferior to himself can delay his evolution. Because his mind is no longer collective but individualized. So that identity is equivalent to the reality of the ether, where the planetary is elevated to the cosmic level. Words in their psychological context only serve to influence man through emotion. In their vibratory context, they serve to correct this influence, in order to elevate human and planetary consciousness. Man has great difficulty imagining what his identity means and what identity means. The identity of man is the product of the descent of the spirit on the mental plane. So for this descent to take place, the form of the words must be readjusted to this experience. For rehabilitation to take place, man must realize that words have no limit of expression except according to his emotions. Otherwise, they are infinite in expression, because they are manifest spirit and spirit is infinite. It is obvious that the spirit does not need to use the form to inhabit the human mind, only energy. But it must manifest itself in form, because it serves as a transfer, a transport over time. One day, in the certain future, man will recognize that UFOs, for example, are so sophisticated words or forms, in other words, so full of spirit, that they are used by foreign races to transport themselves through time and space. So this means that man will discover, as his civilization evolves, that the word, the spoken word, can be made or become material. This is how the word becomes flesh, how it becomes matter. But for this to be realized by man in his experience, he must recognize the fundamental limits of his subjective psychology with respect to the meaning of words. Words are eternal in the sense that they are part of the reality of atomic consciousness, and that with time, as this consciousness improves, words, spoken words, thoughts can become material. It will be the age of the spirit man where the word will be perfectly conveyed and where man will be the creator of the world he inhabits and perfects through his vibratory power. Words will eventually have to reproduce the spirit in man. This means that man will one day have to recognize the vibratory power of words. This can only be possible if he loses the psychological memory of words and begins to live the words on a vibratory level. Then the ego no longer intervenes in the choice of words. That is, it is no longer influenced by what it says or thinks. Then the words are free and grow in power. But the ego is afraid of these words that it cannot influence, because it is afraid to say words heavy of implication. And it is here that he slows down the descent of the spirit into his mind and delays his identity, because he feels more secure in the collective mind. Words cannot be corrected by the ego. They must be created by the spirit or intelligence that animates the higher planes of man, of which the mind is the receiving dimension. As long as the ego seeks to correct or influence words, he loses consciousness of the vibration within the form and cuts himself from the intuitive reality of his being. So he connects to planes of lower intelligence or energy that can easily manipulate him. Because he has given them. By the same token, the power to create words or thoughts that suit him emotionally and psychologically. So he loses contact with the cosmic part of man, the spirit. It then becomes difficult for him to develop a double because the emotional and mental energy necessary for the development of the double is used to maintain the astral and lower mind. Unconscious words pervert man because they have no real power. They only have a power of influence because man has a memory. So man can easily be kept in a state of subjection until the day he discovers the illusion of form. As long as man is not conscious of the spirit, he will not be able to enjoy anything, because he will not be able to establish order in the life that suits his spirit. So he will always be disappointed in life. To live according to the laws of life, you must not be disappointed. Being disappointed means not having power in life. And disappointment penetrates into the life of man through speech. Because unconscious speech cannot create the conditions that allow man to never be disappointed. Man's disappointment goes against the laws of speech, because it arises from his inability to bring the spirit down into the world of experience. Words have as much power to change people's lives as they have to block their lives, because they determine how they think. The way of thinking must coincide with intelligence and not with the subjective attitude of the ego. The conscious man of the sixth race will be the first man on earth to realize that conscious words are life. And this realization will be so vast in consequences that consciousness will be on earth in a very shortened space of time, from the moment the spirit is in matter. Words will no longer simply be forms created by a very primitive spirit, but by a spirit very close to man. Words will be so important that man will no longer be able to use or create them without consequences. Unconscious words are characteristic in the sense that they are part of the character of man. When the character changes, is transformed, according to the elevation of consciousness, the words change and their use becomes different according to the evolution of this consciousness. It is from this moment in the life of man that words become alive. That is, they take on an increasingly precise meaning with regard to everyday life and mental life. Words then become a barometer of life, and man learns to listen carefully to the words he speaks in order to become more and more aware of the creative activity in his life. Words must be useful to man. They must indicate to him, according to their vibrations and forms, the temporality of the events. It is through the vibration of the word, of the conscious word, that man can perfectly realize the rhythm of the events that affect his life. It is through the vibration in the conscious speech that he can know precisely if the time is right or wrong for this or that action. Because the vibration of the word is part of the creative activity that is located in the solar plexus. And it is from this center that man clearly perceives the nature of events. Then words are much more than simple arrangements of sounds. They contain forces of life which, once perceived by the conscious man, become his new intelligence, his new way of expression. The new man will discover the nature of words and realize that they carry within them the totality of the expressed life. And as long as man cannot use words creatively and consciously, he cannot realize that they are an integral part of his higher consciousness. So he cannot have or develop that higher consciousness. Creative intelligence is so subtle that the one who is aware of it cannot help but be a beneficiary. When words escape from the mouth of the conscious being, they have a vibratory value that indicates the path of future events. The more conscious he is, the more precise this precognition becomes. And the day will come when the conscious man, the being of the sixth race, because of his vibratory sensitivity, will be able to speak, and from there, to know his future, or the future in general, in ever more unusual details. Plus, but for this to be possible, words must be detached from the ego, free from its inferior emotional and mental influence. It is the emotions in thought that kill creative thought in man. And there are many more emotions in man's thinking than he can imagine. Words have the power of the spirit in them. For they are produced, created, by the spirit of man. But the spirit of man is not the spirit in man.